How you liking these parables we're throwing at you all summer long? I don't know about you, but I'm learning a lot of cool stuff about Jesus I never knew. I've read them all, but some new things jump out. So we're going to spend the next 45 minutes looking at this parable that Jesus had between the tax collector and the Pharisee. Two different guys, two different backgrounds. One is highly, highly regarded, the religious leader. And one is highly, highly disrespected and despised, the tax collector, right? Few things. I love the fact that they both went to the temple to pray. I don't know what it is about you or about me, but what is it about when I come into a sanctuary, I feel a little closer to God? I know we can pray anywhere, but there's something about getting into the chapel at camp or getting into the chapel here or at West. It's just, oh, it's nice to pause. And then did you notice? They prayed. This parable is about how they prayed. And to me, they both seem a little bit un-Lutheran because it sounds like they prayed out loud. Can you imagine praying out loud? Oh my goodness. On the surface, it sure looks like one of them is full of himself and the other is humble. So is this parable about arrogance? Is it about low self-worth? What's it all about? And when you read the stories in the book, do you ever put yourself in the story? You know, who do you relate to most in this story? Are you more like the Pharisee, or are you more like the tax collector? I think if we're honest with ourselves, there's a little bit of them in all of us, a little bit of both of them in all of us, right? We are all guilty of trusting in ourselves, and on occasion, do we ever look with contempt upon those who are different than us and then label them? Label them what? Well, label them this, that, or the other thing, right? Are we guilty of ever separating ourselves? Do we distinguish and separate ourselves by maybe standing up a little taller or sitting a little bit straighter than those who are trying to what? Survive on public assistance, or those who have a criminal history, or those who battle addiction. Is that us? So you see, it's so much easier to label someone than it is to get to know someone, right? Questions continue. When we label people, do we minimize them? Do we take away their humanity? I'd say most of the time, yes, but there are other labels too that are just a little different. Remember this label from the creation story, Genesis? You are created in the image and likeness of God. Yeah, you. You. That's a great label. So the Pharisee, he stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you, I'm not like other people. Evildoers, robbers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. Really? That's the prayer you're going to have? Did you notice something about that prayer? The Pharisee, the religious leader, mentions God once and himself five times. So what would you call that? I think today they diagnosed the guy with what? Narcissistic personality disorder? We would say this guy's ego shows up 5 days before he gets there, right? He's praying and he's not giving thanks and praise to God. He's congratulating himself. Whatever happened to that lesson we learned as kids? Our parents taught us, or maybe we were taught in Sunday school down the hall, you know, from Romans 12, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. In our house, the story came to us this way, this thing about self-praise. My mom was born in Wisconsin, cheese factory. They spoke German all the time in the house. And mom would say to Paul and I, when we got a little bit big for our britches, she'd wag the finger and say, hey, Eigenlob stinkt. We'd say, what the heck does that mean? Eigenlob stinkt means self-praise stinks. Thanks, Ma. the Pharisee, standing by himself, praying, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even this tax collector. Okay, so if we get honest with ourselves, haven't we all sort of thought the same thing from time to time? And don't you have in your mind sometimes those images running through your head? People right now you're thinking, thank God I'm not like that person, or thank God I'm not like that person. Now, before we throw the Pharisee completely under the bus, I think there's something we can learn from this character, right? He says, I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of my income. Ooh. Imagine what our lives would look like if we fasted. Like what? How about Thursdays and Mondays? And we fasted not just from food, but from social media, and from gossiping, and from complaining. Or how different would Mount Olivet look if we all gave a tithe, a tenth of our income, right? What would the ministries of Mount Olivet look like? A tenth of all of our income? Wow. Jesus comes up and says this next. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to the heavens, but was beating his chest and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's it. He gets one line, seven words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Both the Pharisee and the tax collector, their prayers are heard by God, and so are yours. There are two extremes going on here, right? We got those who think too highly of themselves on one side. I think they call that spiritual ignorance, or no, arrogance. And then those who suffer spiritual inferiority, they see themselves as worthless in God's eyes. One thinks too much of themselves. One doesn't think enough. Unworthy, entitled, two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, one a tax collector. They seem like extreme opposites. How could their lives ever intersect? How can we relate to any of that stuff? I think their lives intersect and our lives intersect in this story in this way. They intersect at the point of needing God's mercy. We all do. Sometimes we resemble the Pharisee. Sometimes we're more like the tax collector, and sometimes we're like both. But at all times, we need God's mercy and grace. So, is it possible that this parable is really about God's mercy? Mercy that extends even to those who we don't think deserve it, whether they be the uptight clergy types, the religious leaders, or others. Some of us, you see, we may be humbled, and some of us may be exalted, but none of us are going to be left alone by God. I think maybe what we have going on here is two extremes. We have pride and shame. Pride and shame. Someone once told me that pride and shame are twins. They're related. They can appear different. You know, pride seems like you're pumping up your chest, and shame seems like, oh, I'm just hanging my head down. I feel terrible. Pride tells us that we're too good for God, that we don't need God. I mean, crying out loud, my sins aren't that bad. You know, I'm not as bad as that guy over there, for crying out loud. We judge others and thus justify ourselves. Shame says what we've done is so horrible that God could never possibly ever forgive us, right? Shame says, I'm damaged goods. How could God ever love me? This good news of Jesus Christ can't be for me. Pride and shame seem to be different, but their end is the same. A quotation from Pastor Max Lucado says this, quote, "Pride drives you away from Christ, while shame keeps you away. If pride is what goes before the fall, then shame is what keeps you from getting up." Close quote. Okay, so who's going to deliver us from these two twins? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, of course. You see, you are a masterpiece, right? God's own handiwork made by the master artist. Now, the master artist sometimes makes traditional art. Some of us are traditional art, and some of us are, say, let's just say abstract art, right? But we're all works of art, masterpiece of God's hand. You are created in the image and likeness of God, and that makes you special. You are loved whether you realize it or not, or whether other people realize it or not. You are precious in God's sight. You see, Jesus went to the cross because God loved you. Mm-hmm. God sent his son to die so that you and I would be cherished for all eternity. You are valuable because God has declared you valuable. Pastor Max says another thing, quote, "Do you feel you need affirmation? Does your self-esteem need attention? You don't need to drop names or to be a show-off. You only need to go to the base of the cross and be reminded of this, that the maker of the stars in heaven would rather die for you than live without you. And that's a fact. So if you need to brag, he says brag about that." Close quote. So my hope, our hope, is that we will be humble in our service, confident in our value, and determined to focus the spotlight not on us, but on the one who saved us out of his abundant grace and magnificent mercy. Amen.